Thank you, choir. That was awesome. Well, at this time, all of our Kairos kids and students are dismissed to their classes. As they're making their way out, I'll introduce myself to those I haven't met yet. My name is Miriam Ryan, and I am our pastor of community discipleship. It's been fun to see a lot of new faces. Welcome to all of our guests today. Well, over the Thanksgiving holiday, my daughter Ellie and I took a trip to New York City. It has been something she's been wanting to do since she was 13 years old, and so for our birthdays this year, we decided to have a mother and daughter trip up to New York. And we were especially excited to go during the holiday season when everything was decorated. And so one of the things that was at the top of Ellie's list was to go to Rockefeller Center and see the giant Christmas tree with the ice skating rink that you see in all the movies, this kind of iconic moment that we've been waiting for. So we woke up early that morning, we made our way through the cold from our hotel all the way over to Rockefeller Center, excited to get our picture in front of the tree. And when we got there, I think we have a picture here, you can see behind me, the tree was covered in scaffolding. That was our iconic Christmas moment in front of the scaffolding 2 days before Thanksgiving. Wouldn't you think that they'd be a little more ready for us at that point? But anyway, needless to say, it wasn't quite the picture we had hoped for, but we still packed in all we could and saw a lot of the magic of the city that was decorated and ready for us when we got there. But as I was thinking about this moment, have you ever anticipated something, kind of built it up in your mind, and then when you got there, or when you got to the end of that time of waiting, it just wasn't quite what you were expecting it to be? Anticipation, it can be this kind of double-edged sword, and this is why I think that waiting, when we use this word waiting, why it's so uncomfortable, is at the end of the wait, you're never quite sure how it's going to turn out. This is why we sometimes feel anxious in seasons of waiting. It might turn out exactly the way we were hoping, or we might feel like we were disappointed in the end. And yet, the season of Advent is a season of waiting. It's where we immerse ourselves in the discomfort of waiting to remember what it was like for people who were waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled, who were waiting for the coming of a Savior, who were waiting for redemption, who were waiting for release from oppression and longing for the wrongs of this world to be made right, waiting for hope to break into the world. And so we enter into this season and join with God's people in that emotion. But the good news we know now, the good news of the Advent story is that the hope of Jesus doesn't disappoint us. We know that the promise of God is fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. Well, we're now in the middle of a sermon series working through the Gospel of Luke and watching how Mary responded to the story of the announcement that she would become the mother of this coming Savior. Last week, Lindsay kicked off our sermon series with a wonderful sermon about Elizabeth and how Mary went to go see Elizabeth after she received this news. And Elizabeth spoke words of blessing over her, reminding us that we too can be people who speak words of blessing. She said this, "Blessed is she who's believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And so today we're kind of picking up the story right after these words of blessing have been offered over Mary. So before I turn to our scripture reading this morning, will you pray with me? Gracious God, as we open your word, we pray that these words would speak to our hearts, that you might open our eyes to something new that you want us to hear, and maybe we'd be receptive to all that you have to say to us. In Christ's name. So hear now these words from Luke 1, 46 through 50. This is what we call Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him." This well-known passage of scripture is called the Magnificat because that is the Latin word for magnify. When Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior," some translations use the word glorify. My soul glorifies the Lord. This morning in our call to worship, we read, it said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." I personally love how they translated it with that word magnify, because I think it has some imagery that we can kind of wrap our minds around. Have you ever looked at something through a magnifying glass or through a microscope in science class? What happens? The object gets a lot bigger, or I should say the object stays the same, but we perceive it bigger, as bigger. Sometimes we can see something with greater detail. Anyone remember looking at like a slide of a slice of onion or a leaf under the microscope in science class, and you can suddenly see all the inner workings of that, the cells and kind of things that you would never notice by just looking at it on its surface. And I was thinking about this word magnify and how perhaps this is the reason why we are called to magnify the Lord, that maybe God wants us to see all of who God is up close and personal, to see more of God's character, to see things that we don't see when we just stay at a distance from afar. Well, I had a couple of images I wanted to show you real quick to see if you can guess. These are magnified images. The first one here, anyone want to guess what that one is right there? Feel free to shout it out. What was that? Peacock! Matt Michaelides is a genius. It's a peacock feather. Anyone know that a peacock feather can look like a braid when you look at it close up? We got another one right behind us. This one looks a little creepy. Any guesses on this one? We have a lot of them here in the South. In the summer, we try to spray our grass to get rid of them. It's a mosquito. Who knew that a mosquito could, like, I don't know if that's his eyes or antennas, whatever those creepy things are coming out. But yes, when you look at something closer, you start to see all of these details. And so as we think of this word magnify, what does it mean in our lives to magnify the Lord, to see God, not necessarily creepy details like a bug, but to see all of the layers of who God is? Well, I remember when the first time I ever went to Zoo Atlanta, I was in my 20s, and we had no kids, and I was watching my brother's daughter, my niece, for the weekend while they went away on a trip. So my niece was somewhere between 18 months and two. She was a smart little girl, so she knew like all the different animals. And so my brother told me she really loved pandas. She'd been watching them on her little kids' videos and had a book about pandas. So we were so excited to go to the panda exhibit. We rolled on in her little stroller, and all of a sudden in the corner, there's this panda chomping on a stalk of bamboo. And I wasn't quite prepared for Annika's reaction. All of a sudden, she just started shrieking, screaming bloody murder at the sight of this panda baring its teeth, chomping on some bamboo. So we kind of made a quick beeline out of there and went to see some more friendly animals like the meerkats. But as I was thinking about this example, I'm not necessarily proposing that God is scary like a bamboo-chomping panda, but I am suggesting that sometimes when we stay at a distance, our relationship with God can feel a lot more tame, perhaps a little more safe. Sometimes when we stay at a distance, God can even seem a little bit remote, maybe even disinterested or not very involved in our lives. But when we start to magnify the Lord, this is a discipline of kind of zooming in on who God is, to see God fully for who he wants to be in our lives. Maybe we start to see things like we've seen in Scripture. We see God's majesty and power. We see God as a source of strength, one that we rely on, one who, as Paul says, is able to do more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Do you need to zoom in on who God is in your life this Advent season? We see in Mary's song that she magnifies the Lord, and as she does in the scripture we just read, she emphasizes three traits about who God is that she gives praise for. First is, as we mentioned, is God's power. Mary calls God the Mighty One. And she says, the Mighty One has done great things for me. She acknowledges that God is not just an impersonal, powerful being, but intimately involved in our lives. She says that God has called her to be a part. She's recognizing God has called her to be a part of his story, about this incredible story of redemption. And she is humbled to be chosen for this role. Well, a second aspect of God's character that Mary names is God's holiness. She says, holy is God's name. This is another attribute of God that I feel like modern day Christians, we don't have a very good grasp of what it means that God is holy. Yet if you read the Old Testament in particular, you think of the story of Moses, when he sees the burning bush, and his response is to take off his shoes because he is standing on holy ground. An encounter with a God who is holy, we recognize just with a sense of awe and wonder and reverence that we get to be in relationship with a God like this. Well, a third aspect of God's character that Mary names is God's mercy. She says that God's mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. God's mercy, this tender side of God's heart, is how God does not treat us as our sins deserve, but freely extends grace and forgiveness to all who will receive it. Well, scholars note that Mary, her song has a bunch of Old Testament references kind of interwoven in it. In that passage that we just read, the first half of it, there are several references to the Psalms. And we see that Mary, she's a young woman, but she is well-versed in Scripture. She's well-versed in the story of God, in the history of Israel, and God's faithfulness to his people. She had rehearsed these words in worship. And this is a time where people did not own Bibles, but rather they learned Scripture by hearing it sung, hearing it proclaimed together. And it's taken root in her heart. And so in a moment where she has this encounter with the Lord, it just overflows. The Scripture and words of praise are offered up to God. This is one of the reasons why we prioritize times of worship like this, why we rehearse Scripture together, why we sing songs. Aren't the songs that we sing so powerful? Do any of you ever find when you go home in the afternoon that those words start running through your mind? It's because we believe that Scripture, that God's Word has power in our lives, that it overflows in our hearts in those moments and can lead us to the type of praise that Mary also utters in that moment when she's encountered the Lord. Mary reminds us that a heart that is immersed in Scripture is a heart that is able to proclaim the greatness of God, even amidst a story that is still unfolding. As we read this narrative, I think the timing of Mary's song, it's so noteworthy. She magnifies the Lord right after she's received this news that she is pregnant. And need I remind you that we know she was a teenage girl. Right? This is not something that she was planning for. She doesn't even yet know. There's no evidence in this narrative that she has had a chance to talk to Joseph yet. She doesn't know how her fiance is going to respond. She doesn't know how the community around her will respond to this news yet. She cannot help but stop and offer up a song of praise. Her spirit rejoices in a Savior that is still yet to come. She is the one who is going to give birth to the Savior, yet she rejoices in the Savior. I think we could all imagine perhaps a teenager reciting the song of praise for getting accepted to the college of their dreams or receiving some sort of award for things going well in their lives, but this is a unique situation. Mary's situation is far more complicated. Certainly this is something she has been waiting for, but it may pose some risks to her lives, things that will change that she does not know how it is going to all unfold, yet she still chooses to praise. Praise, in our lives too, it's simply a lifting up of God's name for who God is. I think we're all familiar with thanksgiving, which we just rehearsed a couple weeks ago, where we thank God for the blessings in our lives, but praise is a lifting up of God's name for who God is, for God's character, for God's faithfulness, for the ways that God has been at work in the past and in the present, and even into the unknowns of our future. The truth is that magnifying the Lord in times like this, it can be challenging. It can be challenging when we don't know what the future holds for us. It can be challenging in times of waiting and uncertainty. However, we also know that magnifying the Lord is what we're called to do, yet magnifying other things is something we do every day. What we magnify is simply what we mull over, what we think about, what we focus our attention on. We are always magnifying something. What would you say for you today is taking up primary residence in your heart or in your mind? What is that for you? What do you find yourself maybe in a moment where you just have some time to yourselves that you're fixating on? Is it your favorite sports team? How well the stock market is doing? politics, things that people are doing wrong that you wish you could fix, a stressful work project that never seems to end? Is it anxiety about something, a health concern, maybe one of your children, maybe a loved one who is going through something difficult? Perhaps in this holiday season, you find yourself magnifying your never-ending to-do list, all the shopping, all the preparations, all the events, and things that you need to pack into a short period of time. What feels magnified in your life right now? What do you find your thoughts zooming in on, even when you aren't trying to think about it? On the other hand, magnifying the Lord, it's not what comes second nature to us. These other things, we can't help but just fill our minds with whatever takes up residence in our minds. But magnifying the Lord, it's something that takes practice. It's something that takes discipline. It's something that we need to sometimes ask the Lord for help in doing as well. But I would like to suggest that in those moments where we find ourselves maybe ruminating on something else that is taking up more space than we would like, that it is in that moment that magnifying the Lord actually has the most power. It has the power to free us of those sort of thoughts and redirect our thoughts to the Lord. So I wanted to just offer a suggestion. What if in a moment like this, even during this Advent season, you simply stopped and made Mary's words the prayer of your heart and said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Even in this, Lord, help my soul to magnify you. Help me to see how big you are and to proclaim your greatness." What if we collectively, as a community, made the call of this Advent season to magnify the Lord together? In our wait, in our preparations, in the times where we're longing for the things that are in this world to be made right, how can you zoom in and see who God is more clearly, even amidst the distractions of the season? Well, when my kids were little, I did my best to really try to make the focus of Christmas Jesus and to instill in the kids why we were celebrating and all the different little things like we're going to do today, the journey to Bethlehem, which I hope you'll all come to. We did things like this to kind of turn the attention of everybody towards the Lord during the Advent season. So one of these days I was kind of rehearsing with the kids one of my questions. So whose birthday do we celebrate at Christmas? To which Ellie, probably about 3 years old, chimed in with much exuberance, and she said, "Santa!" You know you're doing a really great job. And then she did clarify. She goes, "Oh, wait, I mean Jesus." You know you're doing a great job as a pastor and a mom when your kid thinks that Christmas is Santa's birthday. But I thought this is a perfect example of the struggle of the season. Even when we're really trying, right? We're trying to keep our focus on what matters. There's so many distractions, even good and fun things that pop in that start to take up more space in our lives than what we want to focus on. And so I thought this would be a good example for us to think about how can we, even amidst the distractions, even amidst going on, to make it our focus to magnify the Lord, to keep Jesus at the center of all of our celebrations. What would it look like for you to carve out some space this Advent season to magnify the Lord, to allow your vision of God to actually grow bigger throughout the season rather than feel like it's that add-on at the end? I would like to suggest one word for us, for you to think about as you go from this place, and I think I have it up there, and it's simply the word pause. What if you made an intention to just pause several times to think about magnifying the Lord, to think about how God can become bigger in your life this Advent season? What I love about that word pause is it doesn't have to be difficult or complicated. You don't have to check three things off your list or make it stressful, but a pause is simply a short period of time to stop what you're doing, to redirect your attention on the Lord, and then you can go right back to what you're doing. Anyone ever pause to show so somebody can get up and do something? You can go right back to what you're doing. And I would like to suggest a challenge for us as a community to try to make, maybe in the remainder of your Advent season, to have three intentional pauses a day to reflect on the Lord and to magnify God's name. They can be short and sweet. You can do this however you want. It might be simply repeating Mary's phrase, her song, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Maybe in your pause, you want to reflect on some of the attributes of God, like Mary did. God's power, God's holiness, and God's mercy. Maybe you want to enter into a more intentional time of reading an Advent devotional. Our Kairos community is going through an Advent devotional that you can find in our weekly email or on our Instagram, to just carve out a few minutes to reflect on who God is. And I think we'll find together that a pause, while it takes intention, it also can be incredibly filling to just have a moment to sense God's presence in an intentional manner. And there's no one way to do this. Do it however it works for you. Some people like to do it with three times a day during meals. Those are simply times that you are already sitting down. It might be at a stoplight as you're brushing your teeth. However it works with your schedule, to just find moments to pause and reflect on the greatness of God. I also love how the Christmas season in itself, it offers opportunities for us to see more of who God is, and with the imagery and the words of songs. Maybe it's listening to a familiar carol and just really allowing those words to sink into your heart. Maybe for you, it's as you're sitting on your couch and you look at the Christmas tree or driving through your neighborhood, and the light, let that point you back to the light of who Jesus is. The point is simply this: to cultivate a greater awareness of God's presence with you throughout this Advent season. To allow your soul to savor the presence of God with you, so that like Mary, we can make it the song of our hearts to truly rejoice in the gift of Jesus, saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Amen.